In a world where Dave and Darren do podcasts exclusively for their patrons, it's the October Patron Only Show, delivered to you on November the 1st, which in our defense is pretty good.
In color.
Yeah, it is. I just got done watching an episode of Emergency. Hello, patrons, and welcome to the show that we do exclusively for you. This is the patron show for October 2022.
You know, it's available on Amazon Prime.
What is? Emergency?
Heart to Heart.
When they met, it was murder.
Oh, he's so smug.
I'm watching this this Emergency.
Yeah.
On the cozy.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell is this? It's an episode where there's a guy on a barge, and he sends his manservant Pepe down to the gas room, and Pepe gets things mixed up, and the barge explodes. It's not a barge, it's a ship. And I'm like, okay, well, it's in Los Angeles Harbor.
They blew up Pepe?
Well, I think the rest of the show is just them getting people off of the boat that's on fire, and then they get the Coast Guard involved, or they helicopter everyone up to the Coast Guard. Emergency is an hour-long show.
Mm-hmm.
It's 25 minutes of guys laying on their backs and just watching them get hoisted up to the helicopter. It takes its time.
But then this is no emergency.
Right? But then the two guys from Emergency, as I'm watching, I'm like, this isn't even in Los Angeles.
This isn't your jurisdiction?
It's in Seattle.
What, are they on vacation?
They went on vacation to go visit a dairy farm in Seattle together, which seems a little weird. And then while they're there, it's like, hey, this fire on the boat's pretty big. Why don't you guys put on some helmets and help us?
I don't think we can.
What is this? So
this is
Johnny Gage has got to work in Seattle now on his vacation?
We're here for the dairy farm, and this is not my emergency.
Right. The one guy is like, it's Johnny Gage, and who's the other guy? I can't remember their names right now.
Mantooth.
Well, Mantooth is Johnny Gage, though, right?
I think so.
Dun, 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 dun. He falls in love.
Pretty with progressive storyline, though.
He falls in love with the idea of this dairy farm.
Uh-huh.
To the point where he says to one point to this beautiful woman who works there at the dairy farm, at the end of the show, he goes, tell you right now, if I didn't have, it's Roy DeSoto. Roy DeSoto says to him, he goes, let me tell you something right now. If I didn't have a wife and kids,
if I could leave it all,
if I could leave my family, I'd be up here in a second.
All I need is a pint today.
Like, what the hell? Is this like a backdoor pilot? This whole Seattle episode, I don't remember ever seeing it.
Test balloon for a different show?
It's season 7, episode
Dairy Farm.
Season 7, episode 3. It's called Deadly Passage.
Season 7, they're looking for any idea they can find.
Roy and Johnny are sent to Seattle to study the techniques they're using up there. A skydiver jumps off the Space Needle. A worker is trapped at the
top. How does that help you?
A worker is trapped at the top of the kingdom, and a fuel pumper loads a ferry with gasoline instead of diesel fuel, which sets the ferry on fire in the middle of Elliott Bay.
Sounds like this was an emergency that was paid for by the Seattle Tourism Board.
Yeah, we got the World's Fair going on, so we wouldn't mind having some a little bit of help here.
Getting a little emergency love.
Okay, so that makes more sense that they would be traveling together to Seattle.
They weren't just going there for the dairy farm and a bed and breakfast.
I need you two to get up there to Seattle and just unplug for a while.
I can see the stress in both your faces.
Then there's a paramedic convention going on, right? The next episode, there's a paramedic convention going on.
Which, if you go to one,
mm-hmm.
you have to feel pretty good about, if you have an emergency.
There's that. The TV show Emergency is widely credited with expanding the idea of EMTs. Like, paramedics was not really a thing when that show started. And because the show is so popular,
I wonder,
all towns all across America got people to be paramedics, which is great. Think of the thousands upon thousands of lives that have been saved because of this television show. It's a real thing that I greatly admire. But this is the point I wanted to make, and then I want to hear what you have to say. They go travel to Seattle. The next episode, there is a firefighter convention.
What's with the conventions?
Yeah, this time it's in San Francisco. So they have to go to San Francisco.
You can't find a cheaper place to have the thing?
Well, there weren't a lot of, paramedics at that time.
I wonder if that's why Bobby Sherman became a paramedic. He loved the show Emergency. I mean, he left it all behind.
He did, didn't he?
Pop idol stardom. He did. Become a paramedic.
He didn't.
And whereas you credit the show Emergency for saving thousands and thousands of lives.
Yes.
Not one life, not one soul was saved as a result of the show Fish.
Which is
I'm sorry, Abe Vigoda.
Which is odd because they would have been on TV at the same time.
A little crossover there, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Tiny bit.
Emergency would have been on... Was that an ABC show too? Or was that NBC? Da-da-da-da-da-da! They replaced Emergency. It was on NBC, I guess, and they replaced it with two sitcoms. When they canceled Emergency, they replaced it with two sitcoms. One was called The Partners, a half-hour sitcom starring Rupert Cross and Don Adams as bumbling detectives. And then there was another one called...
Are you sure that Don Adams could pull that off?
And there was another sitcom called The Good Life. That was a series starring Donna Mills and Larry Hagman.
Yeah, neither of those added up to Emergency.
I couldn't make it work. Couldn't make either of those work. There was a story not that long ago that we had on our morning show. Do you remember the story of Houdini, the cobra that got out of his cage at the... it's in...
Oh, and they had to shut down...
The Netherlands whole, or something,
they,
right?
They had to shut down... the whole place, right?
Yeah, a venomous king cobra whose name is Houdini escaped from his home at a Swedish zoo 6 days ago. They located him. He figured out a way to get out of the terrarium that he was in because they changed the light bulbs. And this snake, he watched, he studied, and he figured out, that light bulb's not as hot as the other light bulb is because they replaced the regular light bulb with an LED. And he's like, I'm not going to get burnt if I go up there. I can make this happen. So Houdini, the king cobra, escaped. Then they found him, right? This deadly snake escaped via a light fixture in the ceiling of its glass enclosure.
This is what happened to the snake.
Exactly. Exactly. Now it's all coming back to me. Uh-huh. So they shut down the zoo.
Yeah.
And they figured there's probably not any risk for employees and maybe guests too.
There's a big right on top of the gate.
They located Houdini overnight in a confined space. They finally, after this thing was missing for 6 days, and they had evacuated the zoo for a time.
But now, once he has a taste for freedom.
They located him overnight in a confined space, and they were working to retrieve it. And they had this thing dead to rights. Well, it escaped again. They grabbed it.
You're really earning your name.
They grabbed it on Wednesday, and by Friday, the snake managed to escape again.
Yet again.
So maybe you lose your snake privileges there at this terrarium.
Or get yourself another snake.
Yeah. Yeah. They said they've never had any problems. They've been housing king cobras for 15 years. But this guy... He's a snake that you cannot capture.
Well, he's a snake you can't trust.
It says here the zoo is home to 200 exotic species, including fish. Look, I don't care how deadly a fish is. If it gets out of the tank, I'm not that worried.
Oh, he'll go back.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't want to go swimming in a lake with piranhas. But if you're telling me I'm at a zoo and a piranha got out of the tank, I'll take my chances. They also have crocodiles, turtles, lizards, snakes. Naked mole rats, marmosets, golden lion, pteromones, baboons, lemurs, spiders, and parrots. Yes, he has escaped again. Houdini escapes for the second time. Frankly, I think
a twin spin, if you'll
if anything,
I'm impressed that a snake escaped twice. I'm not going to be mad at you, like you said, you got a taste for freedom. Meanwhile, as long as we're talking about incredible animals, there's a bird that just broke some sort of record for a nonstop flight.
How far can they go?
This is a bar-tailed godwit. Here's a picture of what the bird looks like. Just looks like a seabird, right?
Doesn't look that extraordinary.
This thing's decent size. This bird just flew 8,435 miles nonstop from Alaska to Australia. Nonstop, this thing flew 11 days, 1 hour.
What?
And boy, are its arms tired. This bird flew more than 8,400 miles. In a marathon migration that lasted 11 days and 1 hour.
Was he late?
the whole time.
Did he leave like 11 days late?
They tagged this juvenile bar-tailed goodwit. So this thing's doing all this with a little electronic beacon on it. Which, when you think about what the bird weighs and what this beacon weighs, that's not nothing, right? Took flight from Alaska's Yucatan-Kuskokwim Delta. On October the 13th.
Can it glide and sleep?
I mean, it would have to, right? The thing was tracked with 5G satellite data, and they kept tabs. It was constantly moving. And this bird is only five months old. It's a five-month-old bird.
And that leads me to believe... Has never ever been to Australia.
No, of course it hasn't. It just knows instinctively that's where it needs to go. It says here the five-month-old bird coasted nonstop for 8,435 miles before settling down on October 25th in Anson Bay, Tasmania. That smashed the previous world record that was set just last year by an older godwit bird. An ecologist and bird expert, Eric Woller, tells ABC Australia that this bird's nonstop journey is a necessity over the ocean because these birds don't have any webbing on their feet. So if they try to take a break by going in the water, they can't get out of the water. The webbing is to push you out of the water.
I don't know that I'd be flying over water. What kind of natural instinct is that?
You're telling me. I need to flap my wings for 11 days straight, or I just live in Australia.
They're born in Alaska.
It does make you envious, doesn't it?
Only five and a half months old. It's already been to Alaska and Tasmania. I've never been to either.
It's set a world record too.
And set a world record.
I know, what am I doing with my life?
I'm five and a half months old setting a world record.
Well, in my defense, Darren, I'm 50 and I have a podcast. So we're all doing our part.
You have part of a podcast.
I'm on a podcast.
That's something.
They say that this record bird lost half or more of its body weight on its long haul to Tasmania. New York Times says the migration feat of this species in general, which is said to be the longest nonstop migration of a land bird on planet Earth. And they're also doing it in very extreme weather. It's the subject of fascination for scientists. Because this species has a more than 90% survival rate. Think of that. You leave Alaska to fly to Australia. It's going to take you more than 11 days. Nine out of 10 birds are going to make it. You know what would suck is if you died on day 10. What was the point of this? I'd rather get eaten.
Couldn't we have stopped in New Zealand?
Something, please. They say that this is less like the analogy that the bird experts are making. This is not like the bird ran a marathon. This is more like a trip to the moon. When you really think about what they've got done here. One ecologist specializing in this particular breed of bird says, The more I learn, the more amazing I find them. They are a total evolutionary success.
The Goodwits My Grecian Abilities involve an exhausting sounding continuous flapping.
So they, don't do the dynamic soaring that you're thinking of.
They're flapping the entire time.
I'll see how you do it. 11 days?
No.
It's just 11 days in an hour.
It would be like you exercising without stopping, without eating, without drinking for 9 days straight.
If you just exercised, no stopping, no eating, no drinking,
just do that for nine days straight,
your body will go through the equivalent of what these birds go through in their migration.
And again, nine out of ten of them.
If I did that, how much weight do you think I'd drop?
Well, I mean, practically, you would die.
You would lose it all.
You would be dead after four or five days.
No sleep, no water.
You're going to exercise 24 hours and you get nothing to drink?
Yeah, it might beat up your body.
Your organs would shut down.
So you'd lose all of your weight.
There would only be whatever grams your soul weighs. That would be it.
You would be deceased.
You would no longer be with us.
I just think that's just so remarkable to think about.
I mean, we got snakes that are captured, that can then elude capture immediately after getting out.
And now this bird.
It just blows me away.
The thing about it is I got sold. I'm not a soldier.
Look at this, Darren. Look what you just got on a patron-only show.
Look what you just earned yourself.
Consider yourself Zing of the Day.
Powerball was on our minds. Nobody did. When the Powerball goes off next, dear patron, it's going to be $1.2 billion. And if you win the Powerball, please consider continuing your subscription to the...
Perhaps purchase this podcast.
Yeah, we'll come and do it for you every day. Just for you.
We can just come to your house for an hour every day and just tell you funny stories.
No, he made me do podcasts.
All day long to scrub, never good enough.
All day long he made me to scrub toilets.
Say something funny.
Would you like us to take it here for maybe some Budweiser prizes?
No, you work with that man. He made me to scrub toilet.
He hides in grapes.
This is the story of a Chinese lottery winner who kept his $30 million jackpot a secret from his wife and his kid.
That's a good effort.
Man in southern China won 219 million yuan. That's the equivalent of $29.9 million.
Look, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money in the United States of America.
I have to imagine in China, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
He kept the jackpot a secret from his wife and his kid because he said he was worried the winnings might make them lazy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
How long was he able to keep the secret?
The man identified only as Mr. Lee... Went to the lottery office alone to claim his prize. He wore a bright yellow costume that covered his head in photos showing him accepting the prize. He told the authorities there, the newspapers in China, quote,
I didn't tell my wife in China for fear they would be too complacent and would not work or work hard in the future.
He donated 5 million of the 219 million yuan to charity. He said he hasn't decided what to do with the rest. He'll collect some 171 million yuan after taxes, of course.
Chinese taxes.
Bought the winning ticket at a shop in a town of some 120,000 people.
That's a small town in China.
That's nothing.
The day after he realized he won, he drove to a bigger city to present the ticket at the lottery headquarters. He says, I only slept in a hotel because I was afraid to go out and lose the lottery ticket.
Yeah, I guess the wife and kids still don't know.
China's central government runs lotteries to raise money for welfare and sports.
Everybody in China knows except for those two.
Well, here's what you've done now. That's a dick move.
Because now everyone in China They only have one kid, so most families are a man, a wife, and a kid.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say my son or daughter, he says my child.
So now every woman in China thinks her husband is sitting on $30 million and isn't telling her about it.
That's a dick move, Mr. Lee.
China's central government runs these lotteries. Players pick six numbers on red balls and one on a blue ball.
The man said his winning numbers, the one he's been playing for years, 2, 15, 19, 26, 27, 29, and 2.
I'm going to go ahead and play those for Powerball.
Yes, just to see what happens.
Got to play with Powerball.
Now, if I win, I will tell my wife and child immediately. And if they want to be lazy, That's just fine.
I would suggest you go ahead and tell Jenny.
I'm not so sure about keeping it from him.
Seems like you guys are going out to eat a lot.
You mentioned today is Edgar's 14th birthday?
Yes, that's incredible.
Yeah, 14 years old. Now, when Edgar's in the backyard.
I'm just remembering when I had dogs growing up.
There was a dog that I really loved, and what she loved to do more than anything else. She was a half golden retriever and half Labrador.
And what she enjoyed doing the most was finding little shrews, little voles in our backyard,
killing them, and then leaving them right on the stoop.
She would leave little presents for us.
Like, look what I'm doing around here. I'm earning my keep.
Exactly.
Chase thought that was charming.
No, she doesn't kill a lot of voles.
Does he kill any mice or anything like that?
Not too much.
Ever had a bird in his mouth?
Yeah, but it's not a ton.
There's a story circulating on social media of a dog in north central Mexico. This is in the town of Monte Escobedo. This happened, I guess, last week. The dog can be seen running around town with a human head found at an ATM.
Apparently there's just a human head.
And this dog is just running around with a human head in its jaws.
This happened again last week, and it's widely circulating on Facebook, and I assumed that must mean that it's like...
It's got to be like a Halloween decoration, right?
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
I think this is the real deal.
There's a lot to know on a real human.
I mean, you're going to get your money's worth chewing on one of those things.
There's the story of an elephant-sized demon cat.
What? Okay, I just learned about this.
Apparently this is something that's been going on since the 1860s. An elephant-sized demon cat appears at the United States Capitol just before a national emergency.
All right.
Reports go as far back as 1862. A demon cat that is the size of an elephant, although sometimes it's just a regular-sized cat. This is according to the White House Historical Association. The cat, sometimes described as a tabby and other times black, appears just before all national emergencies. Sightings of this demon cat reported just before the assassination of JFK and just before the stock crash of 1929.
So it's been a while.
For more than 150 years, the White House Historical Association says some say the size of an elephant, this demon cat, appears near the grounds of the U.S. Capitol before national emergencies. The chief tour guide of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society says of the apparition, quote, It's probably the most common of all ghost stories in the Capitol, partly because of the physical evidence. In 1898, after the Capitol building was damaged by a gas explosion, paw prints and the initials DC. Some speculate DC stands for Demon Cat! Appeared in the concrete poured to repair the small center rotunda.
They say it is quite possible that a cat just walked across the wet concrete.
But visitors could be that.
Visitors to the Capitol, there's that possibility.
But maybe the demon cat is at work here.
Colleen Shogan, a senior vice president and director of the David M. Rubenstein Center for White House History at the White House Historical Association. And Colleen says here, the demon cat, quote, is one of the most persistent and creative ghost stories in our nation's capital. Known sometimes just as D.C., the ghostly cat has appeared at both the White House and the United States Capitol. This foreboding feline has more than nine lives, and its appearance pretends an impending disaster. So watch your step this Halloween.
Next Halloween. Next year, I guess.
I like that close friends get to call the demon cat D.C. Mm-hmm. I like that it's got a little nickname. You know, for people that gave people other...
They did the same thing with Dave Clark Five.
did they just call him D.C.?
Hey, D.C.
Is he still with us?
I don't think... Maybe he is. The lead singer. What was the lead singer?
Derby Clark.
No, Mike Smith. They had very simple names in it. Mike Smith, Dave Clark.
Dave Clark, born in 1939. He is 82 years old and he's still very much alive. So Dave Clark was the drummer of the Beatles.
No, of the Dave Clark Five.
Right, what did I say? Beatles?
Yeah, they were the ones that knocked the Beatles out of the number one spot.
With Glad All Over.
Yeah, they were considered the Beatles' most serious threat, it says here. Very early on.
They were the first of the British invasion bands to follow the Beatles to the States in '64.
So for a time, before the Rolling Stones.
It's possible then, for a time, you could have thought, well, these bands are just from the same movement. This is the same thing.
It's all the same thing.
You know, I could be wrong, but I think my aunt... Was for a long time
a bigger
way more into the Dave Clark Five than the Beatles. Because I say this when we go to my grandmother's basement. There was this big old record player that was like in a suitcase kind of cinch. And then there were all these wonderful 45s. And I could never get over how there were substantially more Dave Clark 545s.
That was her jam than the Beatles.
But as a child, I think I rationalized, well, these were probably cheaper.
I could get a better deal.
No, we didn't have Beatles money in this house. We could afford the Dave Clark 5 occasionally.
We were lucky.
If the Beatles ever looked over, according to Andrew Lou Oldham, former manager of the Rolling Stones, he said if the Beatles ever looked over their shoulders, it was not the Stones they saw. They saw the Dave Clark 5 or Herman's Hurts.
For about a month.
Dave Clark 5 broke up in 1970, and Dave Clark hasn't drummed in 50 years. After breaking four of his knuckles in a tobogganing accident. Did you know that? Is that what your band's called, Toboggan?
No.
Is it a tribute to Dave Clark? I've never picked up a drumstick for 50 years. After that toboggan accident.
Mom always said, don't play with the toboggan in the house.
Dave Clark was a really close friend of Freddie Mercury. And he was by Mercury's bedside when the Queen singer died in 1991.
I had no idea about any of this stuff.
He does not make a lot of appearances. He just kind of lays low. That'd be kind of cool to be Dave Clark. You could go wherever you want. No one's going to bother you. You know?
Yeah, but I don't know about... I don't think there's a ton of money coming in.
It's probably enough. But if you had Dave Clark's money, you'd burn yours, right?
Chatter, Dave Clark, making a lot of money. I'm retired again, I'll be bread and mud.
Scott Shannon's going to keep the True Oldies gig, huh? Is that what we're learning now?
Well, that's just plug and play.
Yeah, must be nice. Why don't we do something like that?
We just thought we are.
Well, but like successful.
When I say something like that, I mean that I can help you with.
I know. I'm aware. How about this? Alaska Airlines flight was postponed for two hours.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, not any... never flown Alaskan Airlines. I see them all the time.
Yeah, I've heard good things. They're always going to Alaska. They serve nice meals on that.
It seems like they serve a nice meal. I imagine everything's salmon, isn't it?
Well, yeah, nice salmon meal.
Right, well, you get a good meal.
I'd be down with a nice salmon meal.
What the hell's going on? What is this? Hang on a second.
Someone's paying for that commercial.
What the hell that was? Yeah, probably just like Alaska that I mentioned, they all catch with their hands.
all Alaskans know how to catch salmon.
No, specifically the flight crew. Like they send them out into a stream, and then they... Imagine that would be the case. A guy I know went to the Buffalo game this weekend. And he was flying back to Chicago. And there was like thick fog yesterday. And this guy had to spend like 12 hours longer than he wanted to at the Buffalo airport.
And all he wanted to talk about was Tim Russert. That is dad. Big Russ.
So they get the announcement that the flight has been delayed. This Alaska Airlines flight is delayed. And we've all been there.
Are you a Bills fan?
I think he just wanted to take in the whole experience. Yeah, I think he just had it on his list. Like, I want to eat buffalo wings at the Anchor Bar, and I want to go tailgating. And he said it was everything he thought it would be. Didn't really care if Bills won or lost, but he got up and
did watch the BB Packers.
Yes, he did.
That's extra.
Yes, he did. And he's more of a Bear fan. So I guess he went to root against the Packers, and the Bills fans were wonderful, and everything that he said that he could imagine it would be.
Oh, good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, that would be. The Bills are one of your five teams that you like, right?
They're not.
I can't keep track. You like the Browns? Obviously, you like the Bears number one, and you have a second tier that is. Let me see what I can remember. Chiefs and Browns are on like the second tier, and then Chargers. Who else is here?
It was the Saints.
Right, I forgot that you had a fake Saints fan.
That's right.
you can understand why I forget that.
It's not as charming as it used to be.
No. What do you think of the Saints execution?
I was all for it.
So this Alaska Airlines flight delayed this week. Because the two pilots who were supposed to fly the aircraft can't stand one another.
I don't want that.
Alaska flight AS-1080 from Washington to San Francisco returned to the gate before it could take off Monday after the two pilots had a professional disagreement. They say here in their statement, quote, While the situation was unfortunate, in the interest of safety, the pilots did the right thing. Both the captain and the first officer were evaluated by management, and it was determined they remained fit to fly. We swapped crews, and the flight continued to San Francisco. We apologize to our guests for the inconvenience this caused.
I don't want them to be mad at each other.
Or one of them is like, I'll do something to fix you real good.
What do you think of that?
Say goodbye to your wife and your kids? Passengers who claimed to be on the flight tweeted, part of the more than two-hour delay was due to a storm they were waiting out on the tarmac on board the plane.
However...
The flight was further delayed when these two pilots had this argument and then turned the plane around at the gate.
I'll turn this plane around.
Can you imagine that? Like, all right. I think we can both agree. We hate each other just enough that it doesn't make sense for this plane to leave the ground.
I'll agree with you.
So the airline pulled a pilot from a different delayed flight to replace the pilot who walked off the plane. I mean, what are you doing? So now I thought I was working with somebody else. I'm meeting you because I understand you don't get along with other people.
That's right. Okay. You got a problem with that?
Oh, no, I don't want to get involved in another. I don't want to see another one of these. Finally, if you're wondering what to get that special someone in your life for Christmas.
Yes.
Jigsaw puzzles can be an interesting present for Christmas, right?
Yep. Some people love them. I wouldn't want one.
No, but I know you have people in your life that are crazy for jigsaw puzzles.
That's true.
There's one they're selling at Costco this year.
Yeah?
60,000 pieces. It's 8 feet long and 29 feet wide.
Where do you put it?
I don't even have a table. I guess this is for people who happen to have gymnasiums in their house.
I mean, you could give this to Shaq.
8 feet long and 29 feet wide. They say it's the longest jigsaw puzzle in the world. The puzzle is called What a Wonderful World. And it is actually 60 1,000-piece puzzles. Featuring the art of 187 different paintings by an artist named Dowdle. They write here on the website, the supersized puzzle can be done in sections and then locked together into one big, beautiful puzzle. The
Puzzle is all that stuff mixed up.
The puzzle is filled with vibrant images of the world's most interesting places. Explore the islands of the Pacific, twinkling lights of Paris, beauty of the Taj Mahal, and the majesty of America's national parks on your puzzling journey. Costco claims it's the largest jigsaw puzzle in the world. However, that fact is disputed by the people of the Guinness World Records, who say that while 60,000 pieces is impressive. There is a 65,905 square foot jigsaw puzzle in the United Arab Emirates. If you want to get this massive jigsaw puzzle for the puzzle player in your life, I can get it to you for $599.99.
What else could I do with that money?
Apparently, we can play the Powerball. See, maybe me and Grandpa have a good time playing Powerball. Next Powerball is on Wednesday. I didn't play last night because it's too much money. And I'm probably not going to play tomorrow because it's too much money.
What about Saturday?
I hope somebody wins by then. I just don't care for the jackpot being over $1 billion. Just seems like, unless three other people win, too much worried about getting kidnapped.
Well, you're going to get kidnapped for a lot less than that.
No, you think?
Yeah.
One last piece here before we let you go, patrons. They did this study, and I think this makes a lot of sense. I understand why this is the way that it is, but I think it is kind of contrary to what you would assume. They're saying that now that we're on the other side, mostly on the other side of the pandemic, or at least we're out of that phase that the first phase is over. Yeah, right, right. It's a 12-pronged monster. The pandemic, though, for the most part, all things being said, mostly done, and people are returning to their offices, right? They're saying now that people are going back to the office.
Yeah.
Productivity is in the toilet. Productivity has plunged.
I don't want to do this.
It has plunged as a result of everybody going back to work. We were all getting a lot more work done at home than we do when we go to work. They say here, employees found a way to become even more productive while working from home, either because they were happier or because they were making an extra effort to impress faraway bosses. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says now that productivity plunged during the first half of 2022, down by the sharpest rate since the 1940s. Economists trying to figure out why our productivity is so down, and trying to understand what this means for post-pandemic changes to the workplace, including hybrid schedules that allow more time out of the office. Mm-hmm. You're hearing a lot about quiet quitting and people kind of throttling back. You know, you get back to work, but you're not going to kill yourself for work anymore because you kind of learned, well, what's the point? But it could just be that a lot of people
are just yakking to other people.
just busy wasting time with nonsense, right? So people may be taking their foot off the gas pedal because they're not happy, or just too much yakking about, you know, what'd you do over the weekend? Where are you going for dinner? I've heard about that place. Is it nice? The people who...
Who's that?
I don't know. That's just what people at work sound like. No, I mean, not where we work. Just in general. Places I've worked. I'll tell you when we're not recording exactly where I'm talking about, because it's a very specific person I'm quoting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. People who previously went above and beyond at work now giving little more than the expected output. So productivity's in the toilet because we're all back to work.
You know this the skeleton you have in the trophy case?
Yeah, he's going away because I got to put the Halloween decorations
Leave that one there. Leave that there, at least through Christmas.
Do you know, this is the first year that I've put that skeleton head there. Every year I put that thing. We're in the kitchen as we record this, patron. And we've got, like, what do you call those? Cabinets, right?
Yeah, that's a cabinet.
Every year I put that skeleton head up there. And every year my wife says, no, take that down. We're not going to have a skeleton head in our kitchen.
Why not?
And it's a fun little fight every year.
Why?
It's
like, What's wrong with that? She doesn't care for it.
She thinks it's inappropriate.
I think you should leave it there all year long.
Well, I'm going to tell her that. But this was the first year she didn't say to take it down.
Oh, so maybe.
It's growing on her.
She's coming around to it.
It's right there next to my National Beard Championship ribbon and mug. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look kind of dope up there.
Yeah. I just
it's kind of a reminder that, you know, time is fleeting.
Yeah.
I found that the food tastes better when I'm here in the kitchen and I'm looking at a skeleton head. Yeah. I think I'm going to be putting it away, though. I don't want you getting attached to it. Would you like to take it with you?
No, no, it's not mine.
Well, I mean, I don't need it for another 11 months if you think it's that cool.
That's true.
But I will need it October 1st. Yeah, I got to de-Halloween up this house and get some turkey stuff up
that's
and running.
That's not nearly as fun, is it?
I don't know. I think I like...
Looks like you got a lot of work with leaves in the backyard. That's what I'd be tackling.
I haven't raked leaf one. And this is the paradox. The weather is ideal for doing raking of leaves, mm-hmm. and it's also too nice to rake leaves, right? Like I can't...
Have the boy do it.
This is the year I think that, yeah, that's what needs to happen.
That's certainly a job he can handle.
Now you got something to roll your eyes at.
Now you've got a real reason.
get out there and make it happen.
Now you got a real reason to bitch and moan.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And know this, we're in that magical time of year where they don't make us pay to put stickers on the yard waste bags.
So
it's a real savings.
Chop, chop.
Exactly. That's going to do it for this patron-exclusive installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thank you so much, dear patron, for your support. Lo, these many years. Hope you enjoyed this exclusive show.
This is for you.
Yeah,
it's
just
for you.
Just for you. We
remember, we could do this without you.
Yes.
But we wouldn't.
No.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for your continued support. We will have another one for you for November. That was your October patron-exclusive show. Until we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.